throwback. This sermon series is 100% inspired by the concept of remembering past things from our lives. Things that were wonderful, were great, maybe not so wonderful. But we have pictures around there, throwback pictures of people in the church. And every week I get one or two more emails of pictures. And I think this week, I think it's over here. You have to look over to your left. But you can see a young Chris and a young Christina in a picture on the tree. And I thought that was really neat. And we got some from Nadine this week. And so if you have any pictures, you can send them to matt@lighthouse805.com. And I'd love to put them up. And my goal is by the end of this sermon series to have a full collage on the three pictures. I just think that'd be really special. But this series is looking at past things that we can remember, recall, think about, process, and really have a throwback to it, and connecting them to things that God did in the past through the Bible, through our lives. So provision, providing. Remember when God provided. I thought this was kind of interesting. In the bulk of all the stories I looked at where God provides in a miraculous way, it was always connected. He always provided through items or people or situations that was connected to that person. It wasn't just some miraculous thing that showed up. It was always something that person was deeply connected to. And through that was how God provided. The miracles came by something that was connected to that person. And I thought it was so interesting that that's how God works. Jeremiah 32:27 says this, "I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?" I just want you to keep that verse on the back of your mind in areas of your life where you're saying, man, I've wrestled with this for years. I'm hurting here. I need this here. I need that. I need this, the other thing, whatever. Whatever it is, every single person guaranteed has needed something at one point in their lives. Guaranteed. And if you haven't, your name is Jesus. And even then, he prayed to God because he needed God to do some stuff. So number one, love this point. Number one, God provides through your skills. God provides through your skills. Matthew 17:27. Jesus and Peter walk into a town and all of a sudden the tax collectors there say, "You owe us money." Like, we just walked into town. So this is the response. Matthew 17:27. "But so that we may not cause offense, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4 drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours." That's just one of those bizarre stories in the Bible. You're like, what? Like, why is this here? And I really think it's in the Bible to show us something very specific. God provides through our skills. It's not that this is a lesson for me to go out to just down the street, go down Olivas and go to the harbor, shoot out my fishing rod and catch a fish and pay for my taxes. That's not the practical story here that I interpret it as this. Peter was a fisherman and God provided through his skill set his needs. What are your skills? What are your skills? What are your skills? What are things that are just your innate talents and abilities and things that God has put inside of you where you can step up and that's who you are? When someone says, it happens to me, I'm okay at Photoshop, just design. And I still get random phone calls saying, "Hey, are you still with Matt's graphics? Can you do?" And I'm like, "Well, I did that 10 years ago." That's not me. "Well, can you please do this?" It's because those skills and talents God has built inside of you to bring provision. What are you good at? What are you good at? I was thinking about this, and I remember a while ago, I was working on devotions, and I was really following the format of the Life Journal. Some of you guys know what that is, and you basically read 4 to 5 chapters of the Bible a day, and then you have a diary on it or a journal on it. And I was never really the best writer. My most people's life journals were like 2-3 pages, and mine was just like here. When I first started, it was just, "Jesus loves me," you know, just real basic. And then I eventually started connecting media and Photoshop to verses. I started taking graphics and designing it around one verse of how I was praying and how I was receiving God. God was providing wisdom and joy and comfort and understanding daily through my skills, through graphics. It's interesting. He provides your needs through your skills. Okay, every single point through the sermon series, I've had a throwback item or show or something. How many people know there is this black hole of a channel on cable TV? And the only way to get there is like if you accidentally go too far and you're like, I'm just going to go around. Like, you know, it's just you start going to like the thousand numbers that are just kind of like bizarre channels. And then eventually you'll hit this one channel. And it's the same story every time. Same thing. Anytime you turn to it, day or night, it's always the same format. Get someone on there, and they always show up and go something like this. Have you ever experienced this? And then they start doing something. Oh, no! And they do something. Oh, now you can do this. OxyClean is great. You know, it's the QVC channel. Has anyone ever seen the QVC channel? Or like those infomercials? Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, has anyone not seen an infomercial before? So, Chris, you have. And I was thinking about this. They're this set of people that have this issue, this problem, and through their skill sets, they come up with a solution and bring that solution to others. I was watching this show called Shark Tank. Has anyone ever seen Shark Tank? How is this a primetime television show? Like, I would have never guessed. If I was like an NBC executive, I would have never guessed the Shark Tank would ever make any money on television. But it's lasted 8 years on primetime. It boggles my mind. So I was watching it because I'm addicted to it also. That's why. It's ABC? Oh, okay. Yeah, that explains it. There's this lady, she walks up and they're interviewing her and like, well, what do you do? And she goes, oh, my goal was I wanted to provide a service through a website so that any woman can log in and pick out like one thing she likes. And for $50, I'll assemble a whole outfit and ship it back to her. So there's like no thinking, no processing. It's just done. $50. And so they're like, oh, that's neat. Well, how many sales have you made? And she's just kind of like, oh, you know, like I think last year was 200 million. And all their faces are like, what? And they're like, how did you, are you in retail? What are you doing? And she goes, no, it's just through my website. I just, you know, through Facebook. And they're like, how are you doing this? And they're taking notes. And I thought it was so interesting. Her skill was able to bring provision to their family of just saying, I want to help people, save them time, save them money, and through her skill was able to bring provision. What's your skill? And I'm not just talking about financially. A lot of times when we're in the flow of our skill, helping people brings the most joy we have. Have you ever experienced that? When you're in your prime time, doing what you do, it time flies. Never had a better attitude. Like you are dialed in. Provides and God wires us this way. Number two, God provides through your home. Everyone say that. God provides through your home. This is an easy one to glance over. 1 Kings 17, 12 through 16 says this, as surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, and we'll eat it and die. This lady is, she's at her wit's end. She's done it. It's over. So Elijah says to her, 13. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I like those words. Just thinking out loud. He didn't respond with, hey, do this. Hey, why are you saying you're going to die? Just don't be afraid. I think it's out of fear that sometimes we don't step up to the plate and do what God says. Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you've said. But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word the Lord spoken by Elijah. I think this is the easiest one to pass by. It's the easiest one to just kind of miss. God provides through our home. There's some areas that you're dealing with outside your home. Frustrations, work things, financial, whatever it is. But your greatest strength that God is going to provide through is probably a relationship in your home. Being vulnerable and open. Spouses in here. Some things that we can kind of be frustrated with outside the workplace, coming to our spouse and saying, man, can you pray with me over this? God wants to provide comfort through people in your home. Sometimes we can miss that. And I fully believe that the enemy knows this. And oftentimes when something that we need provision so deeply, so profound, so immensely, the enemy will come in and make rifts and barriers in relationships in our home. And because of that, we miss out on God providing what we need so deeply. God provides for our home. I love this one show. This is a throwback show. And it was the same. It didn't matter if you watched this show in order or jumped around episode to episode. It didn't matter because every episode was the same. Large family living in a house. Someone had a problem and someone else fixed it. That's the entire. Does anyone know? Can anyone guess what show this is? Brady Bunch. Oh, we could have gone with Brady Bunch. The Waltons, we could have gone with the Waltons. Jeffersons, we could have gone with the Jeffersons. What do you think? The Fosters? I haven't seen it. Full House! Okay, so pretty much every show that involves a family has the same setup. The which ones? Seventh Heaven? They're all the same. Every episode of all these shows, these throwback shows, always deal with someone in the family has a problem and someone else in the family fixes that problem. I just think that's interesting. And they're the most watched shows during those times when they're out. And I think there's something to that. I think our culture resonates with that of something inside of us, internally. We know something is going wrong. And instead, us personally, we'd rather deal with that and tackle with it ourselves than to overcoming our pride and sharing with our family saying, I need help here. Can you help me? I think it's interesting. God provides for our family. I guarantee there's a lot of us here today, they're wrestling with something that's so personal, it's private, it's something. And God wants to provide, and he's just waiting to say, listen, I gave you a family. I gave you a home. I gave you this. Where two or three gather, I'll show up. You don't have to do it on your own. Number three, God provides through your faithfulness. God provides for your faithfulness. God provides for your faithfulness. Exodus 14, 21 through 23. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on the right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. God provides through your faithfulness. Faithfulness. I see much just this concept. I think faithfulness, just this is Pastor Matt, this is me thinking, processing it. Faithfulness is a moment-to-moment decision. It's a moment-to-moment. Am I faithfully living out what I'm supposed to live out right now? Am I stepping up to what I'm supposed to be doing and taking care of it? Is that happening? God has called me to do this, and am I faithful in this moment? So Moses had hundreds of decisions with these people and God using them as an instrument. First, on Mount Sinai, where he's talking to God, and he's like, well, I don't know if I can do this. I can't talk right. I need a staff. I need a stick and turn a snake. Stuff's happening. And he's constantly faced with these decisions to be faithful. And so it's these constant little decisions that eventually add up to seeing God move powerfully through him to release all these people from bondage and slavery. So he's being faithful here, then he's faithful here, then he shows up to Pharaoh and he says, okay, we got some sicknesses and diseases and curses on Egypt, and we're going to go through them, and I'm going to be faithful to say it every single time to Pharaoh, even though I could be killed. But God's hand is on it. Are you faithful in the moment that God is calling you to be faithful in? I think it's hard to say, I'm going to be faithful. It's am I faithful right now? Every single moment you live in the moment, am I faithful in this moment? And I think it's wild, and I think there's something to it. The fact that in the Bible says, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back. That didn't need to be there necessarily. They could have just walked up and just started with, the Lord caused the sea to go back by strong east wind. But the initiation of God's miraculous power started in the moment that Moses was faithful to say, I'm believing in God, guys. I have faith that God's going to move. It would have been easy if they're walking out of Egypt and all of a sudden the water parts and they could go, okay, God's leading us right now. Instead, God waited to move his miraculousness and his power and his authority based on Moses being faithful, saying, follow me. I'm standing in front of these millions of people right now. Back me up, God. You know, I'm going public. Hope he's behind me now. You know, in every one of those moments. And I think our faithfulness stirs up God's faithfulness. Us saying, I'm going to be faithful in this moment causes God to be faithful in his moment. I really believe it. So those faithful, and I'm not discounting and saying, man, I was faithful 17 years ago to this one thing, and because of that, God's going to show up now, but I'm not going to do anything right now because I was faithful once. I don't know if God works that way. I think God works in the way of, God, I'm going to be faithful to what you've called me to do right now, and we see him move. I think that's the God. That's our God. What areas in your life do you need to step out and take action today? What has God been calling you to do? Faithfulness is moment to moment. Just because you messed up yesterday doesn't mean you can't step forward and be faithful today. Your yesterday doesn't discount God's authority and provision for you today. I think that's encouraging. I think that's good news. Your yesterday doesn't determine God's faithfulness to you today. That's not even in my notes. I like that. Number four, God provides through community. God provides through community. John 6, 5 through 12. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. I think that's funny. God asks us questions that he already knows the answers to and just waits to see if we act out in what he expects us to do. Verse 7. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." So already they're looking at provision through a tested method rather than relying on God. God, how are you going to provide through this? If I was to provide on my own, it would do this. But God's not asking you to provide on your own. He's asking you to provide in a specific way. Verse 8, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. Let's take them from him." Just kidding, it doesn't say that. "But how far will they go among so many?" So I see a boy with 5 bread loaves and 2 fish, and they bring them to God. Jesus said, "Have the people sit down. There's plenty of grass in that place." And they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. It's not counting women. It's not counting children. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. My personal favorite part of the story, it's not the miracle. Because when God shows up miraculously, you know there's going to be a miracle. That's not the surprising part to me. That's not my favorite part. It's not that there was a miracle. Of course God's going to show up and there's going to be a miracle. I expect it to happen. I know, like, you know it's going to happen. My favorite part isn't the disciples floundering around going, "What should we do? I can't figure it out." Like, that's not my favorite part. I that kind of gives me comfort, because if they don't got together, that means, like, I'm okay because I don't got it together. Like, they weren't perfect, so it's okay because I'm not perfect yet. Like, I like that in the story. But that's not my favorite. My favorite part is the leftovers. I read that story to get to the end. I love that idea. This kid shows up, brings the food, and there's baskets and baskets of leftovers. Like, that's my favorite part. This idea that God is waiting on them to bring this forward so he can bless it, bring provision, but he doesn't bring provision to match it enough. He brings it for leftovers to take it and distribute to people that weren't able to connect to Jesus at that moment. When God provides, he doesn't provide to meet our need. He provides to overfill our need, so we take the leftovers to our friends and families. So what am I getting at here? It doesn't just, when God impacts us and he gives to us and he fills our need, it's not just to stop there. God miraculously healed me in this way. That's not where it stops. The leftovers are your story and your faith and your faithfulness going to your community. I'm getting a little bit off topic, but God provides through community. There are specific things that we all go through. And I'm really harping on this. We've all needed something at some point. Something. And community. God shows up miraculously through community. Through church. I mean, there's times in my life where I was younger and I'd show up and I was just devastated. I was like, I got to get to church today. there's someone in this community that's going to pray for me, and I need that today. God provides through community. God provides through people that are around us. God provides. I didn't know if I was going to share this story or not. And it's kind of a throwback, and it's kind of bizarre and different. But there were two things that happened recently that were completely disconnected. They weren't connected at all. And it just kind of happened around the same time. And the throwback point is the drought. How many people, when did we start the drought in California? Does anyone know? 6 years ago? Are we just throwing out like a random number? It just started. And it's like throwing back. And it's now it's kind of like just become a lifestyle. Like we just know we're in a drought. And it's really bizarre and really interesting. And I was thinking about this. I'm like, when did we even start this? And so NASA took some satellite photos of, did anyone hear? They took some satellite photos of California and some scientists, and maybe it was just a hobby and they're bored. They just decided to work out how many gallons of water would be needed to completely finish the drought and give it, restore California to like perfect homeostasis, whatever the scientific word is, of California and remove the drought completely. So crops would be reset, all the water would be necessary, all the rivers would be filled up. So they came up with a number. It's 11 trillion gallons. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that means. It's 11 trillion gallons. Someone said that it's somewhere around, if you took the Rose Bowl with water, you filled it up, I think it's 11,000 times to the top, that's the amount of water. Okay. It's this obscene amount of water that's insane, like 11 trillion gallons. Like, that's not like, how do you make that happen? Do you just turn your faucet on and just, like, splash it out and just help the, I don't know. 11 trillion gallons. So I just thought it was interesting. So NASA released this number, right? They put it out there. They figured out the exact amount of gallons of water that was needed for California to be good and no longer be in a drought. Then, like, unrelated to that, something else happened on the East Coast. So in the Carolinas, a couple weeks ago, it rained insane. And it made national news. It's on the TV. People were like in kayaks going down their street. It was crazy. So then the scientists said, okay, well, in the Carolinas, we figured out how much rain fell because it was like a major storm. Do you know what the number was? 11 trillion gallons of rain fell in the Carolinas at that moment. Is that crazy? I kept thinking about that, and it kept popping up, and I just couldn't get this number out. 11 trillion. We need 11 trillion. They got 11 trillion. Ship us some. Like, let's make a deal here. Someone should go on Shark Tank with like a hose that connects the opposite side. But I was thinking about this. So desperately in a drought, so desperately dry, so desperately in need, things aren't growing. Like, you only have to mow your grass once every like 4 months, which is kind of nice. But seriously, things don't grow. It's just needed. And then over here, the heavens open up, and the exact, down to the exact gallon, is what was given. God has seen our need, and he has what would quench our need in the heavens to open up. And I just thought it was interesting, and I wish I could say, oh, yeah, we're no longer in a drought, and I wish I could see that they connected. But I also noticed that it poured here, what we needed was there, and it didn't get to here. And there was a stoppage, a disconnect, something happened. Okay, and I'm not at all going to say why the rain didn't move over or anything like that. I'm just here to say God has what we need. And oftentimes how to get the provision is through community. I know that doesn't connect weather-wise, but that story is so interesting. It's so interesting. The heavens. The Bible quotes what God has to provide as the storehouses of heaven. I always picture that as weather. I don't know why. Maybe it's just me. But the storehouses of heaven hold what we need so desperately. And the connector is the community. It's the community. I had this in my notes, and I didn't know if I was going to share this or not, but I think I am. This little boy, he shows up with bread and fish, and they're fulfilled in their needs. They're fulfilled. They're overflowing with what they need as leftovers to give out to people that aren't there. Because everyone's stuffed, everyone's full, it's done, it's over. It's, well, we got to take these somewhere. And I was thinking about the word fulfilled. Fulfilled. Are you fulfilled or do you have needs? And I think it's so interesting. I heard this as a quote. Our schedules, our time, and our commitments are so filled. They're filled up. But the hearts of our society are the furthest from being full it's ever been. Everything is filled, but we don't feel full. I just think that's wild. What areas do you need to balance that out? I heard this, a pastor say this. When Jesus showed up to the Last Supper and he was giving out communion, he said, what was the first word he said? Something, this bread. Does anyone know what the word was? Take. Take this bread. And remember, take this bread. Right? Take it. Take it. Because if you try to go out into the world and give everyone else the idea of me, the love of me, the comfort of me, everything that I am as Jesus. If you try to give everyone else before you take me into you, you're not going to get it. You're going to keep giving Jesus out your whole life and you're not going to feel full on the inside. It's this idea of the depth of Christ on one side and social justice of Jesus on the other. And it's this pendulum. And a lot of people think, oh, I just need to keep giving and giving and giving and giving and giving and giving and giving, and I'll eventually feel good about myself. And then the pendulum swings back, and some people say, I need to take and take and take and take and take and take and take as much as I can about Jesus, and I'll be good. But I wanted to share, it's not about giving everything away, and it's not about taking everything you can, but somewhere in the middle. Say, Jesus, I need more of you in my life today. And I have leftovers to give it away. It's this constant flow. And if you swing too far to one side, you're out of balance. You miss out. If you're over here, you miss out on the joys of giving. You're over here, you miss out on being filled with Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit daily. It's not one or the other. It's just kind of dancing back and forth saying, I need to take Christ in my life today. I want to give away what he's been speaking to me about. It's that concept. Number five. 2 Kings chapter 20, 11 through 14. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come to me, stand call in the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure my leprosy. Some miraculous thing would happen. And I think that's what we think a lot of times with God. I'm hurting, God. Like, show up and stir the storms and make me feel better. I think we're holding out for God to miraculously show up and we miss out on the opportunity. And he's like, it's through your faithfulness. It's through your family. It's through your community. And we can miss it. Continuing verse 12. And not Abana or Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. 13, Naaman's servants went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? So he went down, dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, and the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Number 5 is God provides through obedience. God provides through obedience. See, faithfulness and obedience are different. Faithfulness is like the showing up and it's like, okay, I'm going to be faithful right now. Okay, I'm going to be faithful. It's like this decision to all constantly be stepping forward in faithfulness. God, I'm stepping out in faith because I am going to be faithful to this because you are a faithful God. And then obedience is different. Obedience is different. I want to illustrate obedience through this classic toy. Has anyone ever, maybe you've had this. Okay, let me start off by the cons. This is the worst toy ever to step on in your life. You already knew it. Everyone knows. How many people have experienced the pain of Legos? Stepping on them, oh my goodness. Don't do it. Legos. This concept is Legos. How many people are here's, I just want to do like a demographic. How many people, like, you kind of like liked Legos, like you kind of put some stuff together. Maybe you got like the car one, the little tiny one, it's like 14 pieces. And you kind of, you're like, okay. Like, there's that type of Lego builder, and then the type of Lego builder that's like, putting the pieces in and you're kind of doing it, and then at the end there's still like 17 pieces left and you're like, you know, you just kind of put it away in a closet. And then the third kind is like, you do it, and if there's like an extra Lego piece, you take the whole thing apart, start over again, because you will not have an extra piece at the end. You will get it dialed in. And then the fourth one, this is like the creative people, you get the directions and you're like, I don't need those. And you build something bigger and better that's like, you build a car out of it, and all of a sudden you like drive to work in it. You know, that's like the fourth person. I don't know if that's possible. But like, I'm the person that I need, that the directions need to line up and the pieces need to match. And if there's an extra piece, something went wrong. And like, I either give up or I need to start over. Like, that's my choice. I cannot be, it's, I need to be obedient to the directions or it's going to go to heck, and I just, it's, something's going to go wrong. Legos. It's similar. My experience with Legos is similar to this point I'm trying to illustrate. It's being obedient. Are you following what you're supposed to be following? Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? And it's the lifelong journey. Am I obediently following after God's word? Am I obediently following what God is calling me to do? Is there obedience going after it? Am I following directions? I might mess up every once in a while, but that's okay. There'll just be a couple loose ends. God will work that out. Am I obediently following? I guess I want to say there's hope on this. Some people are like, I'm discounted. It's over for me. Obedience. What areas do you need to pick up where you left off? The thing I love about Legos is time is irrelevant with Legos. Right? You can start and get to like page 57 and it'll just be sitting there and your Legos like don't move, right? You could just pick up where you left off. I kind of believe that's in a sense how God works with us sometimes. And we could argue about this, but I think time is irrelevant with God. And if we're obedient with him and there's a disconnect or a falling out or something happens and we pick him up years later, God picks up right where he left off. Granted, he may have wanted us to be farther along in those 30 years, but he's still willing to be patient and say, I'll pick up where you left off with me, and let's start moving forward together. I think that's the heart of God. I found this story about obedience, and I just thought it was interesting with the storm and all that. It says, a TV news camera crew was on assignment in southern Florida filming in the widespread destruction of Hurricane Andrew. In one scene amid the devastation and debris stood one house on its foundation. The owner was cleaning up the yard when a reporter approached him. I love that scene of like houses destroyed everyone and some guy's house is just standing up and he's just like, doo, 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 you know, sweeping away. And the TV guy comes up and says, "Sir, why is your house the only one standing?" asked the reporter. "How did you manage to escape the severe damage of the hurricanes?" "I built this house myself," the man replied. "I also built it according to the Florida State Building Code. When the code called for it to be 2x6 roof trusses, I used 2x6 roof trusses. I was told that a house built according to code could withstand a hurricane. I did, and it did. I suppose no one else around here followed the code. When the sun is shining and the skies are blue, building our lives on something other than the guidelines and God's word can be tempting. But there's only one way to be ready for a storm. God provides through obedience. There are times in your life where things are great, things are good, but God's calling you to something, and it's refining you for when that storm comes. And the provision to withstand is actually happening as a precursor rather than a forethought. God's trying to set you up for success now before destruction comes. I think that's a wild idea. What areas do you need to pick up where you left off? I want to do this. I want us to close our eyes right now. I'm going to have Nakia come up right now. And this coming week is Thanksgiving. I'm excited for it. I'm looking forward to it. Lots of food and lots of family personalities come together all at one time. Some of us need to have God provide us patience during this time. And just jokingly, provide us larger stomachs for what's to endure this coming week. I was thinking about Thanksgiving as your eyes are closed. And just this time, I really wanted this message to happen right before Thanksgiving. Right before just the kind of seasons of life happen, the holidays, the families, the things. For a lot of people, you're thrown back to nostalgic situations in your life where you remember how Nana used to make something, and if someone else doesn't make it this way, then you're frustrated because it doesn't taste the same, and surely Christmas can't happen if that stuffing doesn't taste right. And I wanted to talk about provision today. We've all gone through that season of needing something desperately. Maybe you're here today and you're living that situation. I pray that these five tools will give you insight of how to chase after God in a better way. We'll open up your perspective. If you've ever had bad eyesight and when that doctor puts on glasses for the first time, it's like shifting from VHS tape to like a Blu-ray DVD player. You're like, whoa, the world looks amazing. I didn't know this is what was around me. I pray that that's the aha moment. If you're sitting here today and you've just been chasing after God, saying, God, why is this not happening? Why is this not happening? Why are you not providing? Are you not faithful to my situation? God's really waiting on our faithfulness, our obedience, our ability to break down the pride we might have to go to our greatest assets that he's already provided, our family, and to partner together. God is already set up to provide everything you need. It just takes a new perspective to see that and pick it up. Lord, I pray as we enter this Thanksgiving season, this holiday season, whatever issue or thing we might tension even we might feel. Well, I pray you'd show up in a mighty way. You'd bring the provision we'd need. We'd be able to step up in a new faithfulness, God. A new ability to step forward and say, God, I know you've already provided. I'm just being in agreement and alignment to where you've called me to be. I'm not going to stand back anymore and let my life pass me forward and grumble and complain and whine because you've already provided. I just need to take it. But in taking it, you provide leftovers and we pass it along. It's our choice to make the change and then be the change. God, move in our lives today. What's going to happen right now is we're going to sing a chorus of a song just saying how great is our God. But what I want you to do in this is it's just a form of prayer. I want you to take maybe something from your past, maybe something current, something that you're going through, something where you need God to provide in a mighty way. It could be emotionally, it could be health-wise, it could be anything. It's specific to you. And I want you to picture that in your mind. Stir up those emotions. Maybe you've buried them so deep and it's painful to remember them. But this moment, we're going to sing out this song that God is so great. And I want you to proclaim those words of praise over that situation. Because you know what? In moments of praise, the Bible says the Holy Spirit descends and sits on those moments. By you lifting up what you're hurting in, with the praise of God that he is greater than that, something happens. Let's praise God for a moment today. And if you want to remain seated, that's okay. If you want to kneel down, that's okay. If you want to stand, that's okay also. But Nakia, can you lead us out in this?
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord.
You will move us and position us properly because we are stepping out in faithfulness, in obedience, in community, in our family, God, in situations that normally would cause us to withdraw and isolate ourselves. We are stepping forward with the purpose of you taking us forward in life, God. Lord, I'm stirred up right now, just thinking about Moses with the enemy behind him and the promise in front of him, and what was directly in front of him was the obstacle. And his faithfulness, you caused the obstacle to split in half to move into and towards the promised land, God. Lord, let that be the imagery of whatever we're going through. The enemy is trying to come after us, but we're moving forward. No obstacle will prevent us because we're faithful, and you are faithful because of that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.